Welcome everyone to this teleclass called When Clients Need More or Less. You'll see why I add the or less a bit later. But first of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Angela Ainoff. My business is Creating Order from Chaos, and I am spending more and more time now mentoring, training, and helping professional organisers develop their own businesses. So because that's one of my passions, I have developed the Professional Organisers Edge, which is a membership program for organisers to develop their skills in both business and in their working with clients. And you can find out a lot more about that at the website. The members of the Professional Organisers Edge get these monthly teleclasses as part of their membership. And so I encourage you to talk to an Edge member or to have a look at the resources that are available. The list of what's in the library is growing, you know, every month, and we have a lot going on there. So that's about the Edge and about tonight's topic, when clients need more. I sometimes am surprised by the things that our clients expect us to tackle, and sometimes they don't even realise themselves that they need other services outside of what we can give them or what we would normally package up as part of our services. A lot of what I'm talking about tonight will suit someone who works as a concierge, because they routinely do extra things for clients. And sometimes the things that that clients need can't be provided by ourselves. So listen out for the things that you might want to add to your services, or the things where you might want to make connections with other professionals so that you can add a really rounded service for your clients. I'm going to be talking about three different case studies. And in each case, and always, my clients have been de-identified. So if I tell you about Gary, who lives in Melbourne, you know for sure that his name is not Gary and he does not live in Melbourne. And any other identifying factors and so on, I've removed as well, because we always want to protect our clients. Even though there are millions of Australians, the world is really a small place. We never ever want our clients to see themselves or hear, you know, have a loved one of theirs hear about them and personal details and so on. That's not our business. We're just here to learn, not be gossips, I guess. So I'll be mentioning three code words tonight. Now, those code words are for you to be able to gather up your professional development accreditation points, and I encourage you to write them down, and I will tell you what to do with those at the end of the class. I will pause for questions after each of the case studies, but if we don't have any, that's quite all right. We'll move right along. And also, if you're listening to this recording and you have a question that I haven't covered during the class, feel free to email me and ask away. Okay, let's get into it. When clients need more or less. First of all, I want to mention that we need to take the role of overall project manager. Sometimes our clients don't even know what they need from us. They just know they're feeling overwhelmed or they've got too much stuff. And we're there really to give them answers. And sometimes something as small as having envelopes and stamps available for them to post off something that has been, you know, sitting on their desk for months, will make a huge difference. I like to think of it as being the project manager, but also having a bit of a an overall view. As organisers, we can sometimes get really involved in the detail, in the little things like providing a storage solution or labels or whatever. But it's really valuable to keep an overall global look at things as well. The other thing I want to caution you about is giving advice. Of course, we're paid for our advice, but we need to be careful about giving advice when we're not qualified. I don't know of any organisers who are qualified to give financial or legal advice or medical advice. And sometimes organisers might be qualified as life coaches, but even life coaches don't give advice. They help someone uncover their own answers. So be very, very careful when you're helping in your desire to be helpful, please don't give any kind of advice that you're not qualified for. And that includes things like, you know, throwing away receipts. Just because you don't think that they'll be necessary for tax and so on doesn't mean that the accountant doesn't want to see them. So before you go saying, yeah, go ahead and throw out those, you don't need them, be very clear with your client about what their intention was in keeping them in the first place. One more thing I want to mention is that every client is unique. I'm going to talk about three of my clients, and you'll see that each one of those is unique and each story of theirs is unique. Their situation is different to every other client. And I feel like sometimes we can think that just because a particular system has worked for 90% of clients does not mean it's going to work for all clients. So, you know, really remember that everybody needs a customized solution, that their story is theirs to tell, not ours, and that we need to be really careful and mindful of that. So with that, I will mention the very first code word, and the code word is manager. Be the project manager. Manager. All right, let's talk about our very first client. Here we go, it's Gary. I mentioned him earlier. Gary is single and looking for a mate. But he lacked confidence. He had poor self-esteem. He had poor time management skills. And he was often anxious and most often stressed. When I met him, he was literally, you know, so grateful to meet somebody in the world that was organised and could show him the way. And it was a case of we hit it off right away, and he fell in trust with me really easily, which is a real bonus. Makes our working relationship much, much better. So the brief was to help make long-lasting improvements to help with activities of daily living. Now, activities of daily living is one of those phrases that social workers use a lot. It's the things that we all do without thinking about it, you know, the getting up and going to work, getting dressed, having your clothes washed and ready and prepared, and preparing yourself a meal, and even things like having a shower and so on. Well, Gary didn't have trouble with showering, but he certainly did have trouble with a lot of common things like laundering and dealing with his paperwork and financials and certainly his meal preparing. So, what happened? The brief was, as I said, make the long-lasting improvements, and specifically to create a system for paperwork, to advise on meal planning and preparation, because he was a bachelor who had never had any training in that area. So he really was floundering. He wanted to lose weight and so on and really take charge. Even something as simple for most of us as shopping, he found very stressful. He found it stressful about, you know, figuring out what to buy, what time of the week is best to go shopping, because, you know, he wanted to go just once a week because he was busy and often working late, and his time was really precious. But, you know, he just wasn't confident at all in those sorts of things. He wanted to sort out the garage and make some space for his car. He wanted to arrange clothes for easy access and to keep them wrinkle-free. Because he was time-stretched, he really wanted to be able to get up in the morning, pull a shirt out of the wardrobe, put it on, and not have to iron it again or look scruffy because his clothes had been so jam-packed into the wardrobe. So little things like that would really make a big difference to his life. He wanted to make his laundry usable. You know, he really hadn't set it up to be a useful space so that he could, you know, get the laundry done. And he wanted to work on his time management to improve performance at work as well as reduce his stress. So over a series of weeks and sessions, we would work on that stuff together, and slowly it really did come together. Now, there were bonuses. We did, he sort of realised pretty quickly that finances were another of his issues, and he wanted me to help him figure out where was his money going and where were some savings that he could make. This is not financial advice. You know, I wasn't helping him to figure out what investments to spend his money on, but he did want me just to go through his credit card statements with him and pick it out. It's just something he had no idea about. So, you know, literally one evening for 2 hours, we were poring over his credit card statements, and it turns out, you know, he had in his enthusiasm to look for a life partner, he had signed up to 3 separate dating agencies, which each attracted a monthly fee. And because he had no time and no didn't have confidence, he actually wasn't meeting anybody. So one of the things that we worked on was his decision about which one of these dating agencies was going to get his monthly fee. And he made the choice, but I was able to help him talk through the decision about which one would do the trick. And again, we looking through the financial records, we discovered he was paying for a gym membership that he wasn't able to use. So I presented him with the options. You know, you can let go of the gym membership and do your exercising another way, or you could make a time commitment to use it, and he chose that option. So again, that came back to our time management. We sat down over a session and really figured out where could he borrow some time. And the really big turnaround came for him when he was able to start getting home from work at a reasonable time, but also at the same time finishing all his work commitments. So if you can imagine a bloke in his 30s who really had been floundering at work and having no confidence at home, suddenly, because he started to take control of small things in his life, like having clean, fresh shirts that are in the right place, that that just work instead of having to scrounge around. Things like that really helped him out. Now, I can tell you, we had several setbacks. There were times when the paperwork side, especially, got on top of him. He needed help with understanding the technology that he had bought, as well as other technology opportunities and so on, so that he could really take control of things like internet banking. He hadn't done that before. He was, he just wasn't confident doing those kinds of things. But anyway, this really worked for him. And to the extent that now we finished up working together, and he was very pleased with the result. And I still hear from him now and again about, you know, how it's going and so on. And he did start dating someone from that one dating site that he had chosen, and now they're engaged. So I'm very pleased with that result, and so of course is he. So that is the story of Gary, and you can see that there's more to organising than just rearranging the stuff or helping to sort out the stuff. And I hadn't even mentioned to you about our session in the kitchen, which really, really jump-started him with his, you know, looking after his health and his diet better, and being able to plan out meals and so on. So we had one big session where we rearranged every single appliance in the kitchen so that it was in a logical place, all his food stuffs and so on. And you know, whenever you work on a pantry, of course you throw out a lot of stuff that's expired or that they don't want anymore and so on. So things like that really made a difference for Gary. So let's move on to the second case study, which is all about Claire. Now, Claire is a single woman, grief-stricken, depressed, anxious, and often anxious. Employed, though, you know, she was depression and so on was a part of her life, but she was living a pretty full life. And I'm actually still working with Claire. We have regular sessions, and there is always a lot of variety. Now, with Claire, because of her anxiety and her tendency to lurch from one crisis to the next, I'm along there with her for the roller coaster ride. Sometimes we will finish a session and literally, you know, finish off with, okay, making a plan for our next session together. That session may be 2 days later. And by the time I've arrived, some other fresh crisis or some other thing has diverted her attention or created some kind of urgency in another part of her life. So, as I said, there's always lots of variety, but there's always progress too. I don't want to give you the idea that she's not achieving success. She definitely is. And, the anxiety and the stress that she feels often results in her making split-second decisions. And certainly to shop. She is a shopper. She has several versions of the one item because she's always looking for the perfect one. For instance, the perfect vacuum cleaner that's going to pick up the dog hair and make life easy. So while the next vacuum cleaner has been purchased, there are two others waiting there, that we have to then deal with, make decisions about and so on. So, as I said, she's often lurching from one crisis to the next. Sometimes it's a medical crisis, sometimes it's a financial crisis, and sometimes a personal one where she's had, you know, an upsetting work experience or something like that. And I have literally one time I arrived and we had arranged to do a certain task on that day. So I was really, really prepared for that. And I walked in the door and she was in a flood of tears. So, you know, she was in no place to be making decisions and so on. And my job that day was to listen and to be her sounding board and to just let her get it out. She had, you know, she'd had some really tough time at work and was just verbalizing a lot of her anxiety and so on. So, you know, again, there are always surprises with her. Some of the tasks that we've done together have been furniture construction, you know, flat packs especially, and then and also deconstruction, because sometimes, and especially because she's moved home a couple of times while I've been working with her, we've had to, you know, do all the packing and getting things together and so on, and what has fit into one house as far as furniture goes doesn't fit into the other. So, you know, there's always some interesting things going on there. I've done shopping for her, shopping for supplies, and one, I had to put the brakes on that for a little while because a couple of times in a row she had called me just as I was leaving you know, my office, ready to go and see her, to say, oh, could you pick up such and such on the way over? And because it was to do with our work, that was okay. I mean, she was paying for my time anyway, and she paid, you know, for the supplies. But I had to draw a line in the sand when she started to ask me to also collect things like milk and eggs and bread and so on. So, as I said before, you know, maybe if I were a concierge, that would be something that I could do, and I would structure my fees differently and so on. But that's one of the things I don't do, because I, you know, I earn a pretty penny. It's not really financially viable for somebody to pay me that amount to pick them up some milk and eggs and so on. And it distracts from our goals. One of the other things has been research. Sometimes while we're working together, she will be undecided about a particular course of action, whether it's big like moving, or, you know, do I leave this job and what do I do next, etc. Sometimes it's small, about what kind of, trying to think of something, you know, when she moved house she needed to find some local services, so choosing a vet for the pets and so on. So often I'm the one helping her, because she's not confident in making decisions. I will be helping her to gather up the information. So researching suppliers, researching local services and so on. And also part of the move has been some technology setup. Sometimes it's not cost effective, but I happen to be the one there, and she would rather have me do it while I'm there than get somebody, you know, to come and help her set up her technology and stuff. It's been an interesting learning curve for both of us to figure out what her capabilities are, and to help her learn and feel more confident in using those skills. I've had to give her lessons on how to use her phone, things like the calendar function, so that she can remember her appointments more easily. Things like that comes as part of the service. I've helped her prepare for an accountant appointment, you know, obviously gathering up papers. And here is a great example where I could have given her financial advice, because she was keeping for her business, you know, her work receipts and so on, and proposing to claim things like milk that she'd picked up, you know, for her personal use, party supplies and so on. And, you know, I could have told her, I'm sorry, you can't claim those things on your tax. but it's not my job to tell her that. And she probably wouldn't have believed me anyway, because I know what she's like. So it is a matter of collating everything for the accountant, making everything clear and in a way that will actually save her money, instead of her accountant having to sort through everything and decipher everything and taking twice as long as normal. I was able to help bundle up all the receipts and things that we'd collected from, as you can imagine, all over the house and in different boxes because of the various moves. So one of the other things that I have done for Claire is I've been a witness to some confrontations and to some some situations, basically, where, for instance, she had ordered a particular thing online. As I said, she's a shopper. And when it was delivered, I happened to be there. It was delivered by a courier, and the box was really badly smashed up. Badly. You could tell from without opening it that it hadn't been handled with care, and you know, you could see inside things were rattling around. And she refused to take delivery of it. Now, it went back to the supplier, and they never acknowledged. They wouldn't acknowledge that there was any kind of a problem. The fact that I was there did a few things. It had calmed her down, because she was quite upset about this situation. Calmed her down. I was able to help her think through a logical argument, and when she spoke to the supplier, you know, she was then able to present her case in a much more methodical, reasonable manner than she would in the past. So, you know, just the fact that I was there and able to help her really, really helped in that situation. Some of the things that we've done, because she has done some selling of things, you know, through eBay and other ways, is just something like taking a photograph of items for sale. It's a very cluttered house, and it's hard to get a good photo of the things that she wanted to sell, but we managed to do that. So that was really useful. And helping her find people who could value the things that she wanted to sell. And in some cases, that helped her see what she was hanging on to didn't have monetary value. And in other cases, there really was some kind of value. And again, there was, you know, this is all Claire needs a lot of help with decision making. One of the things, one of the most valuable things that I can do for Claire is to be an anchor and a body double. So if you're unfamiliar, a body double is simply someone who acts as an anchor for the client. You sometimes don't even do a thing. Sometimes you are just there. You might talk to them, you might guide them, or you might just hand them the next item for them to make a decision on while they're decluttering and so on. But body doubling is really something very valuable. And as organisers, we sometimes discount its value and think that we're not doing enough because we aren't actually physically doing. But the fact that I am there means that she is more focused on achieving the goal of the day. She is actually getting things done, actually taking boxes and bags out of her home to make space, actually making decisions on her next move in life and so on. So it's a pleasure to work with Claire, and even though it can be chaotic at times, she is definitely someone who needs more. She needs more than just me going in, setting up a system and helping her to put it into place, because there is so much more, so many facets to what's going on for her. Okay, so that brings me to our second code word, which is anchor. A-N-C-H-O-R. I am her anchor. Okay, and our number three case study is Tina. Tina is a single mum with a very, very cluttered garage. Well, she did have. And this is the case for Les. I remember, you know, I mentioned that I would be, you know, sometimes our clients actually need Les. So Tina had called me. The brief she told me over the phone was to sort the items in her garage for later. That was our understanding that, you know, this is the idea that she had. She really needed help sorting what was in there. She wanted me to bring it out, sort it into what stays, what goes, but then just to put it back in the garage in you know, categories, basically, so that she could handle it later. She also had a really restricted budget, not only for time, not only for money, but for time as well. So she had, you know, this particular day that she wanted this job to be done with, she had a certain budget, and that was all she could afford to spend on it. She did tell me that there were some heavy items in the garage and that she would like me to arrange some muscle to come along and do some of the heavy lifting. So I arranged for that in advance. And then I, me and the muscle turned up. Well, in fact, I turned up and then I had arranged for the muscle, which was just a university student to come along afterwards, because I knew it would take us some time first with the planning. So what I saw when I first arrived was literally a wall, floor to ceiling of stuff. That's what happened, you know, you open the garage door and you're confronted with a wall, which even seems impenetrable. You know, it looked a bit like some kind of a puzzle where, you had to really figure out which piece could you pull out without the whole thing toppling down. In reality, it was a solid wall at the door, but the wall didn't penetrate too far back. It was a case of too many times of lifting the garage door, shoving something in the front and shutting the door quickly. So behind that, it was still a full garage, but it was certainly not floor to ceiling all the way. There were, there were definitely some heavy items, large heavy items, which was pretty good because that made clearing it out a bit quicker, you know. So we were able to start clearing it out and bringing it out into the driveway. It didn't take me long to realise that this plan of hers about we'll sort it out and put it back and then she'll deal with it later wasn't going to work, mainly because there was so much there that she just could get rid of and was willing to get rid of. A lot of it was literally rubbish, as in broken boxes and things, cartons, that really just could go into the recycling bin straight away, and we filled that pretty quickly. We had, several things. The rubbish pile was gathering up pretty quickly. So I made a proposal to her, and I suggested that instead of paying for my services with her whole budget, and and then she would have to then deal with the rest of the stuff later, that I really thought it wasn't going to take us as long as she had estimated and therefore what she had budgeted for in her finances, and that we would be better off spending that money on hiring a skip and taking action right away rather than delaying it. Now, this worked because she was reasonably fast at making decisions and she was okay with me. You know, obviously she trusted what I was proposing, and she could see there was benefit to it. So it worked. We hired a skip. We ordered it, and it came right away, which was a big bonus. Sometimes that doesn't happen, but it worked. And it really moved along a lot faster than she was prepared for, partly because we had the guy who was able to carry things to put in the skip, and we weren't occupied doing that. We were able to concentrate on the sorting and so on. So one of the things that helped her too was, you know, we'd come across a few things where she would say, oh, yeah, I inherited that from my mother and I can't get rid of it until I ask my sister whether she wants it. And this, you know, this statement occurred a few times. Oh, I've got to ask my sister about that. And I, you know, I just stated the obvious. I said, well, how about we ring your sister? You know, instead of delaying that action, putting it on the to-do list, putting, you know, setting aside time for it, you know, I'll sort here, you go and ring your sister. And that was really key and really helped her see that, you know, well, first of all, her sister said, no, I've already seen that stuff and I don't want it, which was great. So that her sister was able to help her with the decision-making, and it also helped her that I pushed her a little to take some action instead of delaying. Okay, so in this instance, she really used less of me and more of, you know, spent her restricted time and money on other things, but got a much more successful outcome, which was great. And I just want to say the things that we encountered in that garage were really interesting. She had told me beforehand, she said, part of the reason I haven't gone in there is I hate spiders and I think there's going to be a lot of spiders. So I was prepared for spiders, and even though I am a big scaredy about spiders and I hate them, you know, I put my big girl pants on and went in there. But there were other things. There was mold and there were rodents, dead ones. I never saw a live one. That we came across quite a few dead mice and rats. But the mold also was a big problem. Now, unfortunately, she had kept a carpet roll in there. You know, it had been lying in a puddle of water and got mouldy. And the box that it was in also was mouldy. And you know, I had to tell her that mould is really dangerous. It's not just inconvenient. It's definitely dangerous, and that, you know, she needed to take it seriously. Thank goodness she did. And actually, she decided that the container was going, because that was pretty far gone, but she was going to work on the mould on the carpet herself. It was, you know, a rug, basically, so it wasn't too big a piece. And again, with the research stuff, I helped her figure out what is going to happen, what does it need, what kind of treatment will this rug need to be usable again. And I left that with her. I presented her with some options, some different cleaning specialists that could help her with that and so on, and was able to give her a hand. And, you know, if she'd been doing that on her own and discovered it, you know, I had dread to think what she would have done with that rug, because... you know, she started out saying to me, oh, no, don't worry, I'll just dry it out, it'll be okay. So there you go. That is the story of Tina with her garage and needing less of me. Now, some other services that I have done and helped with and so on, again, with the rodents, I had one client who... was very honest, and she said, I only called you because I saw a mouse. So she had, you know, her place was pretty cluttered. She was living in squalor, and it didn't bother her until she saw a mouse. So what she did was lay a few traps. She laid her traps under the fridge, behind the, you know, cupboards and so on, and then I was called in. The we worked on the clutter and so on, and I we got rid of quite a lot of stuff out of her home. I helped her set up some minor things like a rubbish bin in every room so that she would actually put the rubbish in the bin rather than just onto the floor. And just as I was leaving, she said, actually, would you do one more thing for me? Would you check the mouse traps? So the last thing I did was check these mouse traps for her. And, yeah, there were dead mice there. And she was horrified. I wasn't thrilled, but it's one of those things, you know, you just put on your rubber gloves and deal with it. I helped get rid of her dead mice out of her house, and hopefully they weren't coming back because she wasn't hopefully living in the squalor anymore. So, as I said before, I'm not qualified to give legal advice or financial advice. So I have connected my clients with those resources, helped them see when they need to get legal or financial advice and or an accountant. And there's other more simple services that I connect them with too. House cleaning services and ironing service. And this is something I tell most people if they're working and finding housekeeping overwhelming. You know, my first phrase to them is D is for delegate. So, you know, I try as much as I can to put them in touch with the right people that can help. Home maintenance. Things, you know, especially because a lot of my clients are single women and they can't clean the gutters out because they don't have the skills and confidence to get up on the ladder and do it. So I can arrange those sorts of things for them. A gardener, whether that's on an ad hoc basis or on a regular basis. One thing that a lot of clients need sometimes to get rid of their anxiety about getting rid of some of their memorabilia is to create a shrine to the things that do mean something to them. And when I say that, it might be to frame their christening gown or to, create a T-shirt quilt, you know, a quilt made out of old T-shirts or something like that. So, I've put them in touch with quilting services. I've put them in touch with, or I have arranged for things to be framed and so on. That can be really valuable. It's really adding value to our services. Sometimes it's temporary storage. Now, I don't routinely advise people to use off-site storage, but it can sometimes be appropriate. In a hoarding situation, it might be that you want to get the bulk of the things out of there to make space for the person to live and to sort through things slowly. If you're going to do that, it really has to be managed very well because it's all too easy to just fill the space again. And it might be in a temporary downsizing situation or if somebody's moving. Temporary storage is great. eBay sales. Now, that's not something I personally help with, but I often tell my clients that if they want to get things sold on eBay quickly, to hand it over to an expert to do it and happily pay the commission because it's better done than, you know, the few extra dollars for themselves. Of course, all the things that go along with moving, the packing, the discarding, the arranging, the selecting which people you're going to use for the moving, etc. Disconnecting services and reconnecting services, all of those things. Selecting trades and even employees. I've been involved in helping people figure out what their needs are going to be in a work situation. You know, who do you actually need to delegate to? Do you need a full-time employee or will you work with perhaps a virtual assistant more easily? Simple things like helping to pay their bills for them, you know, posting letters, balancing checkbooks, etc. You've got to be careful. You've got to be very sure that they trust you and you have a good connection there. Negotiating on their behalf, on negotiating on a contract or on a sale, perhaps, you know, maybe negotiating price. One really important thing I do, because a lot of people I work with are isolated, is connect them with the community socially and to access the social services. So, you know, I might suggest things like a bridge club, you know, just to help them live a more balanced, full life and so on. And again, it really helps with confidence and so on. And then there are the intangible things that you're helping. As I said, confidence, peace of mind, self-esteem and so on. So there's a lot of our clients that a lot of things that our clients need from us apart from just the standard setting up a system, helping to declutter sort of solutions. That brings me to the third and final code word, which is peace, P-E-A-C-E. Peace of mind. And again, I'll just, before I wrap up, I'll tell you about the Professional Organiser's Edge if you're interested to really build on the professional development that you get as an organiser to get that accreditation through APO, which is all important, and develop your skills on an ongoing basis. Next teleclass will be on a different night. It's going to be on Monday, the 21st of July, still at 7 p.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. And it is about effective networking. I think this is really a good one because it's right before our APO conference, and we'll be doing lots of networking then. So I want to talk about networking and really effective networking to achieve goals that you set for yourself and so on. Finally, your code words, the three code words you've collected, please email them to me with in the subject line when clients need more or less. Email those to angela@creatingorder.com.au and I will send you your certificate that you can use towards your accreditation. Just one more thing. If you have not yet booked in for conference, or if you're thinking about changing your selections and so on, I am very happy to help with your choice about which sessions to visit and what kind of post or pre-conference workshops are good for you. If you're confused about that at all or about filling in the form, which is a little bit complicated in the APO registration page, I'm happy to chat. So, again, drop me a line at angela@creatingorder.com.au and I can do that for you. Thank you for listening. Oh, I've just realised I promised to answer any questions after each session and I didn't. Are there any questions right now? No? Okay. If there are any questions that come up, please email them along. I'll happily answer. All the best to you and goodbye.